And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Thanks for being here, folks. It is August. Holy moly. Indeed, it's August 2nd, and I want to give a big shout out to my good friends who drove all the way down here from Squamish and Seychelles, and that'd be Tessa and Carol and Sydney and Robin, who stayed home and held the fort down, or at least the house, and to my wonderful friend Susan from New York, who held my fort down, and to my brothers and partners, that would be Bob and Vivian from New York City, and Donald and Judith from Southern California. Everybody was here last week. We had a great time, and it's pretty peaceful and quiet right now, for better or worse. It is time for Arts Live and Local, and I think that we are going to go right into my first interview, because he's here, and I want to find out what he has to say. So somebody else is hovering in the door, too. I'm not. He must want to know what. Andrew, and do you just pronounce it Zing?
That's right, yeah.
Like Zing.
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe the traditional, it's a Swiss-German last name.
Oh.
The traditional pronunciation might be something more like Zink or something like
okay.
that, but
well,
it's always been
G's.
Zing for me, yeah.
Yeah,
a little
sure
extra emphasis there.
And people go around singing your name because it's so, it just lends itself to that. Well, Andrew is a writer and of, I would say, creative nonfiction, literary
yeah.
nonfiction. Is that how you term it as well?
Yeah, I'd agree with that, that description. Creative nonfiction, literary nonfiction, narrative nonfiction, those are some of the terms.
And is there actually, I know you got an MFA, or mm-hmm. at least you're working on it, I don't know if you got,
yeah, I got it.
Okay. Is that what it was called? Or is
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah, I think my degree was technically, I think, an MFA in creative writing, but within that sort of broad category, I was studying nonfiction, creative nonfiction, I think is what we called it, yeah.
Now, at what stage, I'm assuming you've been writing for a long time.
Yeah.
Since you were what-ish?
I guess I started seriously going at it in high school. Yeah, probably sophomore year of high school, I would say.
Always nonfiction?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, I've dabbled in poetry. I have a really hard time writing, like, a short story fiction. I don't know. I love nonfiction because there's a nice sort of constraint that you have. You can do pretty much anything, but you have to be telling a true story. With fiction, for me, it's sort of, there's like too many possibilities and I get kind of paralyzed, you know, like I could make up anything. But with nonfiction, I have at least that constraint that I
well,
have to be.
That's because you are an ethical person with integrity. There are a lot of people who write, quote, nonfiction and half of it's fiction, but that's another story. So your reasoning right there makes a lot of sense to me. It kind of gave you some boundaries.
Yeah, I like working within a sort of constraint or form, and I know that there are definitely traditions within fiction that perhaps I could have constrained me in a way that would have been productive, but I don't know. I was always drawn to nonfiction. I think creative nonfiction as this discipline is still kind of feels like the Wild West a little bit,
well,
like
what
it's
does it
being
mean?
Defined.
Yeah, what does it mean putting all of those other words in front of nonfiction?
I don't know. There have been a lot of different definitions of it. One I've heard is true stories well told. So the nonfiction part would be the true stories, and the creative part would be that there's some kind of artistry that goes into delivering that story in a way that you know, grips readers. But I mean, it can be interpreted a lot of different ways. There's a lot of really great experimental things happening within nonfiction, sort of, like you said, maybe blurring the lines between fiction and nonfiction or incorporating some poetic devices, sort of.
Well, in what I was talking about was people who basically lie.
you also like have that.
All those memoirs that are true to fact, and then you find out, wait a minute, that wasn't quite what this person's
been a few
about.
Scandals.
But what you're talking about sounds just a little more emphasis on the creative part, but still in that area. So did you also realize at some point that there's so much material that you want to write about that it would be keep you busy?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I feel like I have a lot of outside interests outside of writing, and nonfiction has been a way to kind of pursue or deepen my interest in those passions. I write a lot about music. That's sort of a topic that comes up a lot in my this book-length work I'm working on.
Okay, this might be a good time to tell people that when I walked out and saw Andrew, I said, you look awfully familiar. And he said, well, I am a programmer at KMU. And I went, oh! So what program do you do here?
I do a Saturday night program
and
once
it's
a
music.
Month. Music. Yeah, I've just been doing it. You're off the hook because I'm new here. I've only done a couple of shows these past couple months, but I've been playing sort of music that hopefully people can dance to, you know, if they're home on a Saturday night, playing kind of soul and rock and roll garage stuff.
Do you actually play music as well?
I do as well, yeah, sort of more as a hobby, but I've always loved music, so that's something that comes up a lot in my writing.
Okay, so now this, the reason you're here, because this is an event-driven show, is that you were chosen as one of the two writers in residence by the Astoria Writers Guild and the Astoria Visual Arts.
Yes.
For a week-long residency. And wait, tell me, what's the name of this fabulous cottage?
The Spotted Goat Cabin, or cottage. Yeah.
On the peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
And I like this. It's panoramic views of Willapa Bay, Long Island, and the Willapa Hills. Isn't that a little distracting when you're trying to write? So
I don't know.
There.
It was kind of inspirational, I have
oh,
to
good.
Say. So I just finished that good. Up today, and it was just a wonderful week. You know, I'd done one of these residencies before down in Corvallis, where I did my MFA, but I didn't really know what to expect, but it was just kind of the idyllic writing experience. The cottage had everything I need. I mean, I don't need much, maybe just a little Wi-Fi in a quiet place, but you know, it was so much more. There's, like you said, this expansive view of the bay right there. And it's really nice to write in the mornings and maybe take a little walk, come back in the afternoon and get back at it and just really be focused for a whole week on my writing.
Nice. And tonight, and then we're going to come back and you're going to give us a little bit of information. I'm hoping to be there tonight, so I'll get the
Great.
Full story, but still. Tonight, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the AVA, the Astoria Visual Arts Gallery, which is 1010 Duane, right on the corner of 10th and Duane in Astoria. Andrew will be giving, a reading?
A reading, yeah.
Okay, of what you've done. So tell us what your proposal was, and then how far did you get, or were you really able to stay focused, et cetera?
Yeah, so I've been working on this book for quite some time now, several years, that centers on the life of my grandfather, who was a photographer and lived in Brazil. He was an American originally from New York City, working for magazines like Look and Life in the 1960s. And then he started going on these international assignments and started traveling to Brazil over the years, and made some really good friends in the Bossa Nova music scene, which was kind of taking off at that point. And he actually helped organize the first Bossa Nova concert in the United States at Carnegie Hall in 1962.
So he did come back to the States.
So this was before he moved.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, he was traveling back and forth on these assignments.
He had a family.
And he had a family in New York City, my grandmother and my dad and his two brothers, my uncles. And 2 years after the Carnegie Hall show, he basically disappeared. And his wife, his kids didn't know where he had gone. And they found out later that he had moved to Brazil permanently and lived there for the final 35 years of his life. Wow. But he never offered an explanation for why he left. And I grew up knowing basically nothing about him. And then in college, I started getting really into Brazilian music. The one kind of factoid I had about him was that he had done the photograph on the back cover of the album Get Gilberto, which had the first English language Girl from Ipanema on there, the big, big hit in 1964. And so I just Googled him my sophomore year in college, and it sent me on this journey where I got a grant and got to go down to Brazil and find out what he had done in Brazil. And
was he still living?
No, he passed away 10 years earlier. So
you never met him physically?
I actually met him once. So he returned back to the U.S. to visit 20 years after he left, and he reconnected with his sons, his three sons. And on one of these occasions, I met him, but I was 3 years old. So I don't have a memory of it, really.
Yeah. Wow. So did you ever get any kind of an explanation?
Yeah. I don't think it's an easy explanation to, or it can't be explained easily per se, but I interviewed dozens of his friends. I was able to get in contact with a lot of these folks, including some of these musicians that he worked with, like guys like Caetano Veloso and Gilberto Gil, if there's any Brazilian music fans out there. He did album covers for them as well. He never really gave a straight answer to anybody, but through the sort of interviews I did, I also got to look at a bunch of his photographs and his writings in an archive in Rio. I was able to sort of put together some theories. I think basically once he moved to Brazil, he had this really bohemian life. He was getting involved in all kinds of different arts projects, like from the album covers to playing in a band himself. He acted in some films. He had a column in São Paulo's biggest newspaper at the end of his life. And I think he just wanted that freedom. And he actually ended up, mentoring a lot of young artists there. But, on the other hand, he left these three boys in New York City, and my dad was his youngest son, oldest son, rather, and he was 13 years old. So it was, there was this trauma left in the U.S. So I kind of try to reckon with or reconcile these contradictions within him, how he could be so generous to these folks in Brazil and yet so
irresponsible.
And to his family.
And did you include in your book your father's feelings about the whole thing?
Yeah, certainly. Okay. So the kind of structure of the book bounces back and forth between a more present day narrative, which covers my trip down to Brazil, and my interactions with my dad, and then a narrative that centers on my grandfather's life, through those two kind of narrative strands, I'm trying to understand not only my grandfather but also my dad, because he never really talked to me about this stuff when I was growing up.
Total trauma there.
Yeah.
And when you don't even understand it, what's to say, really?
Yeah.
So you had a week-long residency. Wait, I got to get this in my head. This at the Spotted Goat Cottage on the Long
twister.
Beach Peninsula. Really, it's hard to... Spotted Goat. I like it. And you said it was very conducive to writing. So did it... I know you've been working on it for a while. Did it help you to bring things together, or how are you doing at this point, or what's...
Yeah, at this point I'm in the revision stage.
Oh,
so I have
great.
A full draft of the book that I'm pretty happy with. And I showed it to this friend of mine who works as an editor, and he given me some feedback. So I really had these tangible changes that I could start to put into effect over the course of the week. Actually, a big part of it was sort of trying to bring in more of that family side of things, and trying to really dig deeper into understanding my dad's perspective, my grandmother's perspective. And so that was sort of what I was working on over the course of the week. And it was really productive. And I just feel very energized now coming out of it to kind of keep at it and hopefully finish up soon.
Very exciting. Well, congratulations
Thank you.
The book, on winning the residency, thanks to Lisa and Buzz.
Thank you so much to them.
And to the Astoria Writers Guild and the Astoria Visual Arts. I think this is, well, we have other residencies in this area,
mm-hmm.
and if people want to know more about it, come on over tonight.
Yeah. And,
meet Andrew. I'm looking forward to this because now that I have more of a sense of what it's about, I look forward to hearing you read.
Yeah.
And now we find out, now we look at your writing as much as at the content, at the style, et cetera. So
yeah, it should be really fun.
Are you working on other stuff as well now? Or?
This is my main focus, but mm-hmm. yeah, I've been trying to write some shorter pieces and get them published as mm-hmm. well. Kind of stuff that's in some way connected to the book project or my experiences in Brazil. But yeah, this is sort of my main focus at the moment.
Nice.
I am doing a workshop, though, with the Writers Guild about memoir writing, about this kind of nonfiction writing.
Do you know when?
Yes, it is September 21st at the Astoria Studio Collective, which is in that same building with
That's
Astoria
upstairs.
Visual Arts. The upstairs, yeah.
So
from 10 to 5.
Okay. And you'll make sure to put it on the KMUN calendar. Okay. And 10 to 5. Nice on memoirs, and this is creative nonfiction with integrity.
Yes, I like that. It's a good tagline.
There you go. Okay, well, thanks so much for coming in, Andrew Zing. That's Z-I-N-G-G.
That's right.
Extra zing to it, and it is happening tonight from 6 to 8 at the Astoria Visual Arts Gallery, 1010 Duane. And I understand that you will be introduced by the Pulitzer Prize-winning writer, Buzz Bissinger. So
yeah,
that's
such an
honor.
Yeah,
that's a pretty nice connection, too. Yeah. Okay, thanks,
well, thank
Andrew.
You.
See you tonight.
See ya.
And you are listening to KMUN Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook. I have a piece by Lloyd Jones, who is going to be at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center in Long Beach tomorrow evening. They may be sold out, although I haven't gotten that email, and Bill often does keep us up to date, but you can check it out. And this particular song, you all know it, but I'm sending this out to Susan and my family.
Gonna miss me when I've gone, gonna miss my everyday song, and I know you're gonna miss me when I've gone, gonna miss my everyday walk, gonna miss that everyday talk, oh I know you're gonna miss me when I've gone, when I've gone, when I've gone to rest back home. I know you're gonna miss me when I'm gone. She said, you'll miss me when I've gone. Said, you'll miss that everyday song. And I know you're gonna miss me when I'm gone. Gonna miss that everyday walk someday. Gonna miss that everyday talk. Well, I believe you're gonna miss me when I've gone. When I've gone, when I've gone to rest back home.
Well, that was Lloyd Jones, and yes, I miss you now that you're gone. So, well, I enjoyed having you here. I didn't wait till you were gone, for sure. So, and again, Lloyd Jones is at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center. Tonight, they have they have a Beatles sing-along there. Yeah, isn't that amazing? So, there's always something going on there. And there's always something going on when Jeff Daly...
Been looking for something to do.
When Jeff Daly is in town, which is these days all the time, there is always something exciting going on. Everybody who lives here knows that. If you don't live here, it's time for you to come and find out. Welcome, Jeff.
Howdy do, Carol.
Howdy. And with Jeff is... Emily Gray. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Carol.
Whoa, Emily. Wow.
Welcome to me, huh?
Good.
She's got some lungs on that girl.
She does. I just pulled that one down a little bit. Ooh.
Carol, I brought you something to wear to get a little in this spirit for today, and I know that all the people watching out there will love this.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So I brought Carol some light-up glasses and a clown
these are
hat.
So cool.
Because I haven't seen Carol lit up since last weekend.
Yeah, right.
You're going to look like Max Hedrum or something.
Well, you know, I'm going to have to wait until later because right now I have all kinds of things all over my face, but I've never had a pair of light-up ones.
I plan on seeing you on the town in those.
You will.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know whether we know each other, Emily, but you will see me on the town wearing them. Jeff
mentioned... Have you met Ray George before?
Who?
Ray George. George.
Oh, are you going by a new name now?
He's Ray George now.
No. You know what's funny? I have been trained not to announce or open a mic for Ray for so many years that would you like to introduce your friend there?
Well, that's Ray, our Ray Merritt, who is, we know him very well. He's always on his hands and knees, usually around town, doing glass bricks, et cetera, et cetera.
Or something.
And also keeping KMUN on the air for many years that he's done that.
That and keeping KMUN clean and tidy, as well as presidenting the board for years. But he never would take the mic. So now,
never.
Now I've got all three of them on the mic, and it's very exciting. And the reason is for an event that's very exciting. But before we go there, I just want to mention the reason Jeff said we were lighting the town last weekend was during Peer Pressure Productions Performathon. That's a p-p-p-p. Here comes the train.
The joy train.
The joy train. And two of my visitors and I jumped on it, and we rode around town yelling our lungs out. We had a great time.
That sounds like trouble.
Honking and bubbles and the whole bit. And that's why they're here, because this time they're doing something even bigger. And
even bigger, for sure.
I'm gonna let this crowd tell you. I'll just give you some of the details. This the title, as far as I know, the Regatta 1000/125. Now you need to listen carefully to find out what those numbers mean. Party in the Pit. And that would refer to the underground pit, 1125 Marine. And you won't have to search for it because it's going to be a happening affair. This is on August 10th during the regatta from 8 to 10 p.m. Really, just 2 hours for all this.
Yeah, you never know. It might go a little bit longer. You never know.
I'm thinking it might. So the world premiere of the state championship of underground cornhole. I don't even know what that means, folks. I wrote it down.
You're too young.
You'll have to come find out. That's the only answer.
It's true. But I'm older than almost everybody in this room.
No, Ray's older than dirt.
So am I. So Jeff is, for those of you who don't know him, he's a historian. He's like Shanghai. Takes care of Astoria Historiana. He is a local who went away for years and came back with great passion to share the joys of this area. And on the 10th of August, which is Saturday night, a week from tomorrow night, they're going to make it happen. So now, why don't you give us some of the details? Emily, you chip in. Ray, go ahead.
Jess, well, what we're doing is we're celebrating our thousands guests coming to the tour group.
What is the tour?
Should we tell them about it?
The Underground Tour.
Yeah, tell folks what the Underground Tour
is. I stand at the door. It's an hour long and $20. Oh,
well,
that's my part.
We don't do prices on here.
I'm sorry.
You know that.
I know that.
Oh, my God.
We have a little song here for you. You ready for this, Carol?
Yeah.
Man. Celebrating our thousands guests through the... Oh, wait a second. You gave me the wrong page.
I know, I'm just messing with you.
There we go. And one, two, three. Saturday night, looking for some fun. The ruckus in the underground has begun.
Carol, Jeff, Emily, and Ray are here to say the pit is the place and August 10th is the date. They'll be dancing, cornhole, prizes, and more.
Celebrating our thousands guests through the door. Baby. That's terrible, Carol. I'm sorry I did that.
No, that wasn't great. But folks need to know that.
See why I'm not working on radio.
In the meantime, yeah. Emily not only was singing and holding the paper, but she's really multitasking. She was using her right hand to do, I don't even know what you call it.
You got to get with the groove, man.
She was grooving.
I'm getting ready because you see at the party,
yes.
Joey Altruda is going to be DJing from the Joy Train.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
And Joey's a great DJ.
Oh.
So there would definitely be dancing. So what is this underground that you've got? You're a thousand.
It's 3:28. Are you off the air at 3:30 or do we have a little time?
4 o'clock.
Oh, I thought we were done at 3:30.
No, I have another guest. You don't have all afternoon.
Who is it?
Oh, man.
No, I'm not telling you.
Well, are we better than them, or are they last because they're best?
If we don't move, then they don't come?
It's the Columbia River Symphony, and
they're
competing with you on the same and the same time.
Really?
Well, if you haven't been into the Astoria Underground, come down. You can book tickets on Old Astoria?
OldAstoria.com.
What does it mean? Because you know what happened last weekend? This is where the confusion came up. During the Astoria studio tours, one of the places that included several of the artists was the Underground.
Well, let me tell you the difference.
Please.
So if you go to 1128 Marine Drive, you can go down in the pit, and that's the entrance to the Astoria Underground Tours. And that's where you can go down. So we all know some of the history that you hear about on a regular basis of Astoria. But here you hear some different stories that you're not hearing on a regular basis.
Like you
hear about the fires that happened in Astoria. You hear about life that was going on underneath the sidewalks, underneath the piers in Astoria. You hear some of those stories that you hear about the clowns, the origin of the clowns. You hear about some of the kids that were making some trouble down in the underground.
I can't imagine who they might be, Jeff Daly.
That wasn't me. No, I was a youngster then. Oh,
okay.
And a little bit about the Red Light District, Shanghaiing, different things and different stories.
So what does it look like down there? Because the other underground is all finished and nice and pretty. What does your underground look
the
like?
The opposite of that.
Nice and pretty doesn't fit our bill.
No, I didn't think so, but...
No, the underground stores, that's the old Michael Foster building. That's actually about a block away from us.
Right.
We are located right across the street from Sears. Down in the lower parking lot.
Aren't you behind
Malternative? If you turn left at Malternative, we're down that ramp down there.
And also the Imaging Gallery.
Yes, we're right behind Imaging.
You're below Imaging Gallery,
exactly.
Kind of thing. Okay.
And so we are located down there across from Sears, and what we do is we go underneath the sidewalks. We show you underneath the streets. It's dark most of the way. You need flashlights to go there.
Will people actually be walking under
we are going to tease the underground. We're not going to be doing tours that night because we're going to be busy dancing our asses off. Can you say that on radio?
Not now.
Not anymore.
It's to wet your...
And I can't tell you the price either.
Oh boy, here I go again.
You're in big trouble.
It's
go
to
ahead,
wet
Emma.
Your appetite to come take a full tour, because once you see it, you're not going to want to stop there.
Yeah.
You're going to want to go find the
stories. So tell me, for full disclosure, What's the walking like for those people who want to go to the underground, but they're maybe elderly like me and Ray, or, you know, a little unstable?
Unstable, that'd be like me.
Yeah, that'd be like
you. We've taken several groups.
Mentally or physically?
We've taken several groups from some senior centers through, and they had a heck of a time.
Okay, yeah. That's exactly what I want to.
So we are ADA friendly. We have chairs set up because we've had lots of senior crowds come through, and so we want to accommodate them.
Great.
So yes, it is. Good. It's not a lot of walking. It's history. It's storytelling.
Okay, now that's the underground tour, and you're just going to get a taste of it on a week from tomorrow night, Saturday night, during the regatta. So the 1,000 refers to, you already know who that person is?
No, we don't. Not yet.
Ooh.
It's getting real close.
Ooh. Carol, do you want to have the world exclusive right now? You want me to reveal something?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody that evening who has purchased a ticket for the tour at 7:30 is going to win a major prize package.
Starting
with a stay at the Elliott Hotel, dinner at Carruthers.
Oh, my gosh.
Hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Wow.
There are still some tickets available for that evening.
So if somebody buys a ticket for the 7:30 tour, how long is the tour usually?
It's an hour long, a little over an hour.
But so it would go from, they don't have to go at 7.
They have to be there at the tour at 7:30.
Okay.
And when somebody walks out after the tour at 8:30, they're going to walk into the pit. And it's going to be party time
as we
announce who the 1,000th person was in that group that evening.
Wow, how fun.
So there are actually tickets available, and whoever buys those last, I think there's 4 tickets left maybe.
So now
they could be the winners.
Tell folks again where to go to buy the tickets.
OldAstoria.com.
That's
so,
easy.
We still have a little bit of a shot if you hurry and get your tickets.
But you have to be there. To win.
For the tour.
I think that'd
for
be a good
tour.
Idea.
Well, some of these things, you know, you don't have to be there. But how can you go on a tour if you're not
there? But if you're
not there,
you're not the 1,000th through the door.
That's right.
1,000th through the door.
Yeah.
Now, there was a slash. That was the door. And then there's a 125. What does the 125 refer to?
Well, we're celebrating the 125th anniversary also of the Regatta Parade. And it's just sort of a good co-party opportunity to share it back and forth. We're also celebrating all the Astoria Clowns have done for all these years. They started in 1955, and they did the Regatta Parade. So it's just a good all-around celebration.
And what is your relationship to the clowns?
I wear big shoes, and I have a big nose.
Can we talk about your relationship to the clowns?
What our group is we are called the sons and daughters of an original Astoria clown. It's basically it's a group of us who have gotten together, and it's our dads who were the ones that started the clowns in 1955.
Wow.
So what we did is we brought the old clown car back, which drives backwards.
Yes. If you've ever seen it, it is a hoot. It's also totally disorienting for those of us who have a little, you know, whatever it is. Because the car is driving down the street backwards. Only you have to see it to figure that one out. It's great fun, as is the train. Tell folks about your train, the Joy Train that I got to ride last week.
Well, the Joy Train, it's the reincarnation of the American Legion 40-8 train. This was a vehicle that they had back in the 50s and the 60s. All of the local American Legion chapters had this vehicle they would use in parades and stuff.
Mm.
What it was doing was celebrating the 40-8 back in World War I. When the troops went to the shores, they were escorted in on train cars, and they could either carry 40 men or 8 horses.
Oh, my goodness.
So the train is called the 40-8. I salvaged it, kept it from going to the junkyard, and rebuilt it. And it's going to be actually in the parade, the Regatta Parade this year.
Nice.
Carrying a past regatta princesses on it.
Now,
really?
Yes. Lovely. And now, do most, you said others have these, or use the trains, have the trains. Has anyone else revitalized it? And then which direction do they go?
The train goes backwards.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, no, it goes forward. It just looks like it goes backwards.
It could be. Which way are the bubbles going?
The bubbles go behind it, I think.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
All I know is it's terrifying when you turn down a one way and there's something coming at you.
Yeah.
That's all
it's,
I know.
It's because, yeah, because the front of the train is in the back of the vehicle. And
yeah,
the bubbles are absolutely delightful,
I think
too.
The word rear end works here.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I don't know.
Thank you, Emily. Good
That's
job.
Another one.
Good job. Okay, folks, this is all happening a week from tomorrow night, the 10th of August. That next weekend is Regatta Weekend. Is Regatta happening 2 weekends?
No, it's a long week. It starts like on Tuesday and
right.
goes through
okay.
Saturday. And
that's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is at, I wrote down 1125 Marine.
It is.
She made a mistake.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure glad we
brought I'm not good with numbers.
Busted. I'm not good with directions, so I fit right in here.
And I'm not good with English.
We all fit in.
The Underground Pit, you can't miss it. Well, you can. If nothing's going on there, it's
then
very
you'll hear
easy.
It. If you miss it, you'll hear it.
But Saturday night, you'll see. Now, you're not projecting anything.
Yes, we are.
We
oh,
could.
My goodness.
Yes, we're going to be doing the old Soul Train dance lines. We'll have a dance stage. We have lots and lots of prizes and competitions. We're doing
up.
The Regatta Gutter Boat Races.
Oh my
we're having the
goodness.
Cornhole World Championship underground.
Free hot dogs.
Free hot
tarot
dogs.
Tarot
card readings.
You're going to have vegetarian hot dogs for me?
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, what's are you going to tell us what? Yeah, sure. Did
sure.
you hear that?
I put that on the list.
Is there any entertainment, though?
Oh, just you,
Not
Ray Bird.
Not entertaining at all.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's a cornhole?
It's a game where you throw some beanbags into some boards, and we're going to make it a little extra challenging.
I'm
so
sure
if you
are.
Think you
it's
know
underground.
Cornhole, yeah, it's underground version.
So you mean there are people who do know what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not. You know.
But if you think you know what it is, try our version.
Come anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can still get to Astoria for this. DJ Joey Altruda will be spinning the tunes. He is a terrific DJ. He also is a KMUN programmer. But we call ourselves programmers. Saturday night, he'll be a DJ.
That's it.
He does a terrific job. Okay, take a peek into the underground. Celebrate the 1,000th Astoria Underground Tour guest. And it may be you, because if you come, you know, never mind. We'll talk about that later. And the 125th anniversary of the Astoria Regatta. Tarot and Crystal Ball, Rain Gutter Regatta, Column Man. Oh, I know him. The Clown
really?
Car.
How do you know it's a him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It could be. It says Column Man.
It's They're all lowercase.
It could be. Exactly. It could be a woman, but the column is
man.
A man.
Yeah.
Column individual.
Yeah. Persona. Thank you so much for keeping us laughing and joyful. We certainly need that in these always. It's a good healing tool. And it also, this is real stuff because as you could just tell, Jeff Daly actually does know the history of Astoria. He may make things up too
well,
in this creative
yeah.
nonfiction that I was talking about with Andrew, you know, but. He actually knows the history and can tell lots and lots of stories. Emily Gray, I'm not sure what your official title. Do you have an official title?
I'm the business manager at the Clatsop County Historical Society.
You are?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's a great place to work. I love my job, but sometimes for fun in the evenings, I go down and give tours in the Astoria Underground.
Oh, how wonderful.
She's one of our 5 tour guides we
that's
have.
That's terrific. I'm a fan of CCHS, too.
So am I. I'm glad.
And Ray Merritt, what's your title?
Doorman.
Doorman, okay.
I open and close the door. It's a hard job, but somebody's got to do it.
He's also the cue card guy.
Sometimes
I gotta
cue
that
cards
out.
For...
I see.
Dynamite.
Thank you all so much for coming.
What, we're done?
Well, yes.
Those
yes.
other guys didn't show up.
Yeah, 4 o'clock.
They're probably out
no,
there.
You're here till
no.
4, right?
Yeah, I thought it was
sing.
4.
I prepared a song.
Yeah, I don't see anybody out there, so why don't we just stay?
I see them right
oh,
there.
Oh, you want them?
Yes.
All
put,
right.
the, put those
we'll
glasses on. You won't see them.
If you have a, yeah, you're right. I'm going to be wearing these glasses. You'll have to come back. Do you actually have an... There you go. Go ahead.
Off and away we go today. No, we're not doing this one on the cut. One more time. Should we try better?
I think we should.
Go ahead.
That's not a very good one. Let's try.
Let's do turkey burger.
Let's do turkey. Was that turkey
okay,
burger?
But you got to
do it
quickly.
Hurry up.
Turkey burger's right there. Oh, here we
go.
Here
we go.
Saturday night and looking for some fun, baby. You may go on down and find the ruckus in the underground has begun.
Carol, Jeff, Emily, Ray, we're here to say the pit is the place in August 10th is the day we'll have dancing, we'll have cornhole, prizes and more.
Oh, this is such a bore. Celebrating our 1,000 guests through the door.
Prizes galore.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Thanks, Carol.
Thank you so much, Jeff Daly, Emily Gray, and Ray Merritt. And this is the official title, The Underground Party in the Pit. Thanks so much. Stay tuned. I've got a little music from Sedona Fire Band right here on... Whoa, I did have a little music on Sedona Fire Band. I think I can get it back for you, though. They are going to be playing tonight, I think it is, at the Manzanita Farmers Market from 5 to 8 tonight. Have a listen.
That pass me by. Memories all come rushing to my head. Writing down another thought, another.
This is the beautiful voice of Sedona Torres, and we have Michael Dennen and Bob Latore and Renee Delight, Chuck McLaughlin, Barbara McLaughlin, Fred LaCaff. I'm not sure if Fred's still playing with them, but it is the Sedona Fire Band, and they're quite diverse. They do a diverse program, and they're going to be tonight at the Manzanita Farmers Market from 5 to 8. Aren't we lucky? God, we live in this area where there's so much good music. Speaking of which, I have two of the stars coming up. This is also a regatta special, although They've each been in. I don't usually get to see you together.
No, this is rare.
This is rare.
Rare for us too.
Is it? Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Where is your child anyway? the first one that is.
Yes.
I have Corey Peterson and you know, it just flipped out of my mind. Angela, what's your... I got the Angela part, but what's your...
Calvin Peterson.
Calvin, of course.
Yeah.
It's the Calvin, because I didn't know you were... So this is great. Angela Calvin Peterson, who is the first violinist and much of the inspiration, if you go to their concerts, you will hear. She's the one who kind of said, come on, let's do an orchestra for the kids. And it's turned into this wonderful, wonderful symphony orchestra, the Columbia River Symphony. And they are, I don't know what number this is. You've been doing this Astoria Regatta Pops concert.
It's probably year 5 or 6.
Okay. It is happening next week, Saturday night. Does that sound familiar? Yes, the same night as the Pit. So this is from 7 to 10. So you can kind of jump around a little bit or just choose this year, because we're going to keep this going for sure. The Astoria Regatta Pops concert, which may take on a very important significance next week, judging by what, who I'm seeing in front of me. And it is happening at Astoria High School. If you want an address, it's 1001 West Marine Drive. Who knew? Because we all just know where it is. But if you're using GPS, you will want that. So now, this isn't the one where your brother usually comes.
Oh, this is, yeah.
It
he's,
is.
Yeah, he's coming back out again.
He
yeah.
is.
He is,
oh,
yes.
Oh, great. Corey has a twin brother whose name is?
Carrie.
Of course. Why would you name your two twin kids anything but Corey and Carrie? So you can just, blah, and you get them both coming.
Oh, yeah, an older one named Colby.
So. Oh, no. There you go. And it's great fun. Carrie doesn't come by himself, though, does he? Is he bringing any musicians, or is he going to?
He's bringing his ensemble out of Vancouver also.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's called the Vancouver Beacock Music Concert Band.
Right. So how many does this grow to for the expand?
Well, so CRS this season's roughly 60. His group is 25, 30-ish. So we're looking 90, 95,
wow,
somewhere around there.
Yeah, well, you couldn't do it anywhere but the Astoria High School.
No, we could not. No.
It's the only place in town.
Yeah.
So Saturday night, things are growing,
mm-hmm,
and maybe popping.
Hey, well.
We're just not really sure. Folks, if you know Angela and Corey, you have the inside story. If you don't, you better come to the concert and be a witness. So, yeah, so what are we going to hear?
Well, let's see. So my brother's group, kind of excited about it. His group is going to be performing some 60s selections, I believe. Louie Louie.
Oh, all right.
Devil with the Blue Dress. And then Gimme Some Lovin'. And some of these pieces I've heard a little bit. I haven't heard Devil in a Blue Dress. It may have been a while since
I've
heard
of it. Yeah.
Then I know CRS is going to be performing a lot of pop hits. So we have some of the greatest hits from Journey. I think a lot of people will be happy to hear the Avengers theme being performed.
Okay.
We're doing something from a symphony called The Winds of Poseidon. It's from the Odysseus Symphony.
Nice.
And then we're doing a beautiful piece. It's a Swahili translation of the Lord's Prayer called Baba Yetu, mm-hmm, from a very popular video game called Civilization.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. That's what makes it pop. It's from a video game.
Yeah.
So now, do you have any vocals in either of your groups?
This season, we do not, but
well,
I mean,
we have some inserted groups. We have some inserted sections where there are some vocals, but we don't have specifically a choir that's coming.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, the ensemble will sing a little bit. But
I didn't really introduce you properly. Corey is the conductor and director of Columbia River Symphony, mm-hmm, as well as the North Coast Chamber Orchestra, which is part of the North Oregon Coast Symphony, and also the Nutcracker. So he wears lots of hats. None like, he better wear a hat, especially in the sun. You don't have a hat like this,
I
though,
do not
you?
Have
I was
one,
just
no,
given this hat. Oh. I can't wait to put it on. And Angela is the first violinist, and in all of those, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah. and in addition to all that, both of them are teach in our public mm-hmm, educational institutions. Corey, you're at Jewel.
Jewel
is that right?
13th year, yeah.
13th year, and Angela in Astoria.
Yes.
Are you at both schools?
I'm at Lewis and Clark Middle School and High School.
All three schools.
Yeah.
Boy, are they going to miss you. If you happen to need to take a little time off, which shit, if the pop comes soon enough, it's going to happen. I think people might be getting the idea. So, tell us, just for the record, because I grew up hearing the term the Boston Pops. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Is it a term that can be stretched to include just about anything, or how does it work?
Well, I think so, but in general, I look at it as more of a mainstream. Everyday listener can come in if you're not a fan of classical or a specific genre. This is more just mainstream entertainment. I like to think television, movies, musicals, and then that genre, I guess, would be the kind of the avenue I like to at least program for when I get there. But, you know, I think from different perspectives, it could include, you know, some symphonies, some, you know, very famous selections from a symphony or something. But for me in general, it's just mainstream culture that people like and remember.
And so instead of like a group singing it, this is a whole band or symphony doing it and that.
Yeah, there's a couple of selections that we're performing where you may be accustomed to hearing some of the actual vocals, but instead it's just the musicians playing on the instruments, so you're going to hear that. You can hear it in your head. You can sing along. There is a couple of selections, as Angela mentioned, where the orchestra is singing, but it's just on syllables, so they're not actual words. But it's quite something to see all musicians sitting up in awe.
They playing and opening their mouths at the same time?
Some of them are, but the majority, it's usually a percussive feel, or there could be just a few instrumentals in the background where we're singing.
Maybe in the Swahili one especially.
There's a couple spots where, it really is moving. We even just acquired a new oboist who is just beautiful, and the whole orchestra is singing underneath him while he's playing a solo.
Wonderful.
It's quite beautiful.
So are all of your members or most of your members locally? Living locally?
You know, I'd say majority of them are, but we are raising some eyebrows. We have some people who are driving an hour and a half, 2 hours away, whether it's over in Portland, Vancouver, Pacific City, Oceanside. We're getting somewhere outside people involved.
And for those people who don't know, can you give us a sketch of how the Columbia River Symphony came about as opposed to all those other?
Well, I grew up in the end of my high school experience was in Tacoma, where they have the Tacoma Youth Symphony, and it was really a great addition to my music education to participate in a group like that. And so after spending the year in Astoria teaching their first year, I was like, what do these kids do in the summer?
And you teach strings.
Yeah. I was like, they stop playing? What? And so I told Corey, I was like, hey, we should get up early on Saturdays and play some music. I was like, it's going to be awesome. And he was like, what?
and I have to verify that Corey tells the same story in front of the whole audience. Yeah. Yeah. He says, my wife over there.
Yeah, but Saturdays.
Wouldn't that be fun? Work all week and then get up early on Saturday.
It's not too early. We're meeting at 10 o'clock now, 10 to noon. It's kind of a nice way to start the weekend. Mm-hmm. And so everybody gets together, we laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also her cheap plug. If anyone's ever interested, we are always looking for, seriously, more musicians
to
take part.
And where do you meet?
Warrenton High School.
Warrenton High School.
10 to noon. And same thing, even we've talked about on the way over here. Board members, people who want to do stuff behind the scenes, we're always very much interested in people that have a vision or want to be on part of our vision. And whether they play or not, we'd love for them to contact us.
Yeah, everybody has something to add.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Christmas concert every year, we have boutonnieres and the kids wear something. So people who can create, that would be a great addition to our group. We have concession stands. We're looking for people with skills that could be on the board.
Don't have to be a musician.
Yeah.
You can be a support system. So you notice Angela started by talking about the youth orchestra, but what happened? because I don't think the youth are driving for an hour and a half.
I think the part that happened is a huge portion of why it has become successful is the adults realize that this was, when we started, not an incredibly serious symphony, I'll be honest with you. It was just to get together and have fun and play music, which most people want to do. And so the adults got involved. Well, then it started turning into a mentorship between the adults and the kids. And that's a very positive feeling to watch and see in action. And so then audiences started seeing this. More adults came in. And then even more so, it started to turn into some of the students were mentoring the adults who hadn't been in. And all of a sudden, you got this cross-generational
cross-pollination
and whatnot.
There. It's wonderful.
And it's just exploded.
Yeah.
So that's what happened.
Yeah, it's quite terrific. And they play often. This time, they'll be at Astoria High School. This is, again, a week from tomorrow night on the 10th of August from 7 to 10. Mm-hmm. But often you will find the Columbia River Symphony at rather unorthodox places playing their concerts, which is also delightful because it gives you a different perspective.
And it's also fairly exciting and to bring your ensemble to different parts of the community.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to share on the radio, but there's some plans in the work for the future.
That involve popping.
That's another hidden secret there, but all I'm going to say is there's some really exciting plans in the future.
You should hear our conversations at home. Okay. We throw around great ideas.
Now, how is your number one child doing on all of this?
Yeah.
She loves it.
Yeah.
She wants to play piano.
Oh, how old is she now?
She is five. And she'll tell you that.
Okay.
Yeah, if you meet her,
kindergarten,
she'll tell you that.
Coming up.
Great. Okay, so she wants to start on piano.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Hey, it's so good to see you folks.
Same here, Carol.
Always. Yeah, I love having you together. It feels like it must be summer. The school isn't happening. I'm going to after the and again, this is the Columbia River Symphony. What's the website?
www.columbiarriversymphony.org and then Facebook, Columbia River Symphony. And if you're new in town, please check it out. It really is pretty something special.
Yeah. Whether you want to get involved or you just want to see where they're playing, what they're doing, who the heck these people are, and what the popping surprise is. Stay tuned. Thanks so much for coming in. I do want to let you know, folks, that Astor Street Opera Company is happening. The Coaster is happening with Nonsense Tonight, and that's varying with, and then there were none. Astor Street Opera, of course, Shanghai in Astoria. The AVA, by the way, the Andrew Zing, my first guest, is doing a reading tonight. It's actually upstairs at the AVA in the Artists Collective. So just get yourself to the corner of 10th and Duane, and you will see, because the entrance may be on the other side, but it's going to be delightful. Ilwaco Art Walk is starting right now at 4 o'clock. Manzanita Farmers with Sedona Fire Band. Bay City Arts Center has an artist reception with Rhonda Wright at 5 o'clock. And from 9 to 4, whoops, you missed today, maybe tomorrow, Discovery in Stone. And then tomorrow night they have a concert at 7, Folks and Roots and Americana with Mojo Holler and Amanda Stanaway. Peninsula Performing Arts Center, again, Beatles sing-along tonight with Ivan Ramirez. And tomorrow is Lloyd Jones. And Clatsop County Fairgrounds at 7 o'clock is Midland, which is apparently a phenomenon. And Sand Dune has at 9 tonight, that's Manzanita, Lonesome Heroes, Gus Clark, and more. And tomorrow, the Grange, the Brownsmead Grange, has its crawfish boil, 6 to 8. Jake's The Alligator Man is happening. Run to End Domestic Violence is at the Bolstead Approach, 11 a.m. in Long Beach. Astoria Library, 10:30 in the morning, Family Storytime. Gearhart Art Walk is at 2. Seaside Art Walk is at 5. And the Hoffman from 3 to 5 in Manzanita has a reception for Samyak Yamanuchi and Ben Rosenberg. There's a 4 o'clock artist talk. Ocean Beach Hospital Foundation home tour is tomorrow, 11 to 5. And Sunday, the Labyrinth Walk at Grace Church, Fort George, Miss Lonely Hearts and Lonesome Heroes, and Rick's Poetry, fabulous Rick's Poetry at Winecraft on Tuesday evening at 7. Come with or without poetry. And thank you for being here. KMUN Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook, CoastRadio.org, wherever you are in the world. And we are here in Astoria. And I have something for you, I think. Let's see what happens if I turn it on